Helping children manage their anger. Everybody gets angry. That's a human emotion. We get all kinds of angry. We get irritated. We get annoyed. We get frustrated. We get enraged. You know, there's lots of flavors of this upset emotion, and we adults experience all of those flavors, and so do our kids. Children get angry about all types of things. They might get angry because something isn't going the way they want it to. It's not working out their way. They may get angry because they're disappointed or because they're hurt. Their feelings may be hurt and they may be reacting in anger. Sometimes people get angry because their boundaries are being pushed, but other times the anger might be what we call a secondary emotion to more vulnerable or softer emotions, as they're referred to, such as hurt or shame or helplessness, disappointment, those kinds of feelings. So the anger might be a reaction to a deeper, softer feeling, or the anger can be pure rage, and that usually happens when we're protecting ourselves. And children can feel threatened a lot by their siblings, by their parents, by their peers, and by their own frustration when they can't make things happen the way they want it to. But some kids get angry more often than other children. There are some people who are born sort of easygoing, things just roll off their back, they're flexible, and they have a good frustration tolerance. But we should not assume that that's a description of the average child or even most children. I think the average child lacks flexibility and has low frustration tolerance, and then there are children who are really rigid, inflexible, and completely intolerant of frustration, and they are born that way for the most part. Okay? Sometimes a child can become that way temporarily. For example, almost anybody can become that way when they're tired enough or hungry enough or sick, you know, coming down with something. And if you have a combination of that, sick, tired, and hungry, well, you can be, you know, that child can be downright nasty, as so could an adult under those circumstances. So that would be a temporary case of that. And another temporary reason for exhibiting a lot of anger would be from trauma, from something that was overwhelming, terribly frightening, shocking to the psyche. And that can result in a temporary outburst of anger. When I say temporary here, I mean that it's not really in the child's nature necessarily. Before that, the child might have been placid, easygoing, normal, calm. And after his encounter with a house break-in or some parent moved away, a huge trauma to the system. After that, the child becomes angry a lot of the time, really, really angry, lashing out. And I'm calling that temporary in the sense that with psychological treatment for the trauma, the anger will actually disappear and the child will revert back to his previous nature. And then there's the other type of anger that's more systemic. It's in the child's genes. It comes from the genes. It comes with the child's inborn personality. And so some people can be born hot-tempered. Okay, they're just easily ticked off. And there's nothing else going on with them. It's just one of their characteristics that they come with. And there are a certain health conditions that a person may be born with that are also programmed in the genes that lead to anger. So this is not now just the personality, but it's the disorder itself. For example, a child with bipolar disorder will often show intense irritability, real rage attacks, also ODD, or oppositional defiant disorder, as it's called, is characterized by a lot of argumentativeness and rage. And there are disorders of impulsivity where, almost in a bottom line, we say that anger is always has got an impulsive component to it, but in a disorder of impulsivity, there can be a rage disorder itself where the person just falls apart or disintegrates really very quickly when stressed a certain way. ADD or ADHD that is attention deficit disorder, is sometimes associated with lower ability to control oneself, right? And all for all different kinds of reasons, being impulsive, lacking something in executive control. And the child's brain is just a little bit different in a lot of different ways, and anger is one of the results for not all children with ADD, but some of them. So they can have just more intense reactions to things not going their way, more anger. Sometimes children who are highly anxious will manifest that anxiety with intense rage. OCD, that is obsessive compulsive disorder, is a panic disorder, really, but if you try and make a child confront something that he's panicked about, he can react with intense hysteria and red in the face rage, okay? And it's really a mixture of panic and rage, but it's all governed by the same adrenaline release in the body. Depression in children is shown through not sadness so much as irritability, miserableness, bad mood, and anger. So that's another possibility. All of those things I've just mentioned here, bipolar, ADD, anxiety, OCD, ODD, depression, all of those are mental health diagnoses that a person is simply born with. It's, you have to have the genes for those things, and you manifest them differently depending on how much stress you have and what kind of support you have or don't have in your life. But those things, you have to have the genes for them or you don't develop them. So if a child is carrying some of those genes, and every family tree has some set of psychological genes, you know, it's kind of inescapable. But depending on the particular mixture that a child might have, he may be prone to more anger because of his inheritance. So it's not really, you know, something that's his fault, although you have to help the child with all of the manifestations of anger. You have to help a child manage his anger, whether he's got a mental health handicap or challenge, or whether he's just a regular kid. Okay, everybody needs help with anger, because this particular emotion can get us into a lot of trouble. It can actually rob us of the support and love that we need in life, so that people who have, you know, serious anger problems usually end up losing the people who are closest to them. They just turn them off completely. Because my anger is your abuse, sort of thing. So when a child expresses anger at people, he pushes them away. And if he continues to do that while he's an adolescent, he can lose friends that way and relationships. And then when he grows up and continues to do it, then he can lose significant relationships with spouse, with children, with other people, have problems at work, and all kinds of serious things. So we really want to help kids manage this emotion, because this, unlike some other emotions, this one can really have long-lasting consequences when mishandled. So what can a parent do, actually, for a child who is sometimes very, very angry? Well, starting off a little bit with what we don't do, we don't want to mimic the child, right? If the child is having a hysterical fit and is raging at the parent, it's very important that the parent does not rage back. The child needs a model of self-control, and we discussed this earlier, in one of our other podcasts, but it's very important to show the child what it looks like to restrain oneself, to seal one's lips, to hold oneself silent, and to calm oneself down. So the parental model, whenever a parent is irritated, a parent should walk himself through the anger reduction steps so that the child could watch and learn, right? And so let's say the child is not the one who's upset, but the parent is, right? And the parent would say something like, "I'm getting upset now. I need to sit myself down and calm myself down so that I can think about what I want to do." And then the parent should actually go find a chair and sit down and breathe loudly and slowly, like, just loud enough for the kid to hear that I am now trying to consciously slow my breathing down. Or maybe I grab a cup of water and I slowly drink it. Trying to show the child that there are steps to take to turn off a rage attack. Okay, if I'm feeling angry, I want to show the child that I need to take these steps to turn off that adrenaline. You can even talk to children about the effects of adrenaline and how it makes us temporarily insane. So that it's important for us to get a grip with the whatever little piece of sanity is left to help ourselves turn off that particular chemistry in our body. So if the child is the one who's having the attack, anger attacks are catchy. And it's quite common for parents to walk into a screaming child and scream back at the child, "You lower your voice right now, don't you talk!" You know, something kind of ridiculous in that department. Whereas the parent needs to come in very slowly and calmly, saying something like, okay, we need to find out what's going on, and I can't hear you when you're screaming like that, so please sit down and tell me what's happening." You know, now by talking slowly, you're actually going to help the child turn off his or her adrenaline, because calmness is also catchy. So that's one thing that we can do, is have the child catch our emotion and hold ourselves steady with it, although it may be hard for us to do, but still, that's what the child really needs. Another important point for a parent is to keep in mind that anything the child is asking you to do while the child is in an enraged state should not be complied with, all right? So if the child is making some demand because he's unhappy with your original answer about something. Let's say the child said, "Could I stay up, or could I go out, or could I do this activity or that activity?" And the parental answer was, "No, not tonight." And then the child had this fit, just blew up in front of you, just had a complete, you know, rage attack. Well, it's really important not to change your mind right then, because you don't want the child learning accidentally that a rage attack is the way to get what you want from people. And in fact, that's just a horrible way to get what you want from people, because it's true that we can intimidate each other into giving us, into getting what we want, but we will lose the relationships in the long run, because people don't want to be pushed around forever. And if you find yourself, you know, having to tiptoe around somebody because they're so touchy and they're so, they can explode at any moment, you're going to get their wrath, you know, if you have a relationship like that with somebody, well, you know how much you don't like them. And you don't want this to be your child. So you cannot agree to do anything for a child who is screaming at you to do it. The whole discussion has to be put on hold to be taken up later when the child has calmed down and can speak to you normally and respectfully. And this brings us to another parental important pointer, which is don't tiptoe around the angry child. Like, some people will try not to upset their child because it's so unpleasant. I mean, if, you know, give the kid his cookie, you know, give him his computer, give him what he wants, because I'm just too tired to deal with his rage. And what happens then, again, is a slow drip of resentment that the parent has for the child, which is not good for the child to experience. But worse than that, it really allows the child to be a little dictator in his house. And, you know, we don't want the child in that position. It's the parents who are supposed to be in charge in their home. And if the child is going to make a big noise and a big fuss because things don't go his way, the parent wants to show the child, "I'm not impressed. I don't care. I don't care how much big noise you make. And I don't care how much big fuss you want to fuss about. Okay, if I answered a particular way, then that's my answer, and you're just wasting your energy." See, we want the child to learn, as I said before, that having tantrums or explosive fits will not change anything for the better for him. It will only get him into some sort of trouble, but it will not work for him. So it's very important to show the child through your stance, your attitude, your behavior, that you will ask him to clean his room even though you know he doesn't like it, or you will ask him to take his plate off the table, or you will say no to him, or whatever it is, And you will not refrain from doing that just because he's going to scream. Keep in mind that his scream is just a big noise. Though I have heard parents say, well, you know, he screams so loud, I'm afraid that the neighbors will call and accuse us of abusing him. And therefore, I try and do everything to make him happy, because if I don't, he does that scream, and I don't want the police showing up at my door. Well, I would say, you know, if he screams that loud, that's fine. And if the neighbors call the police, well, that's fine. And when the police come, you can introduce them to your child and say, this child was asked to go to bed, and he didn't like it, and that's why he screamed that much. And please, Mr. Officer, tell the child that that is not acceptable behavior, you know, and have the policeman tell the child. So, you know, I don't think we have to worry about, you know, the authorities coming. If you're abusing your child, then you do have something to worry about on many levels. And if you're not abusing your child, then you have nothing to worry about on any level. So let the kids scream. You really want to show the child that noise does not impress you. Property damage does not impress you. You are not going to change your parenting approach because of this child's temper. Now, I don't know if you've read a book, but an excellent book on child's anger is by Dr. Ross Green. It's called The Explosive Child. And he explains that there are times when you do have to push your child's buttons, but you should not be pushing his buttons all day long. So if you know you have a child who's sensitive in the way that he's easily triggered into a rage attack, then it's not a matter of tiptoeing around him, but it is a matter of selecting your priorities, right? Don't start up when you don't need to start up. So this is a little bit different than giving into everything, right? He has a basket approach to this, baskets A, B, and C, where, I forget which one is which actually, but let's say the A basket is a non-negotiable activity. It just has to be done. For example, it's time for the child to have a bath, and you've limited baths down to once a week, and the child has to have a bath, and you're not flexible on that issue. And even though the child's going to scream and rant and rave about it, still, you're going to push that particular issue right through the tantrum. It doesn't matter. You know there's going to be a tantrum. So that might be your A basket. A C basket, I think, was an issue that could be made to disappear, sort of like you turn an issue into a non-issue. And a B basket was a mild issue that, even though you want it to be different, you're going to not push it, because this isn't something worth fighting about, or it's not a priority item. Now, I'm not sure if I've got those A, B's, and C's right, but that's the general idea. The idea of making an issue go away, I think, is, for example, we might say that the child, you had a rule in your house that there was no candy except on one day of the week, let's say. And the child was whining and crying about the candy all the time. So, you know, you could make that issue go away by putting out a small amount of candy every single day, and now that issue is no longer an issue. That would be sort of one way of making the issue go away. Although that's not necessarily with the candy the thing that you'd want to do. I'm just making up an example there. But if you just keep in mind the idea of prioritizing, that there are things in the day that have to get done, and there are issues that you need to be flexible on. So modeling flexibility is important too. Sometimes, especially because anger issues are genetically passed along, we may find that the parent is stubborn and the child is stubborn, and they're locking horns. So the parent wants the kid to eat vegetables, and the child doesn't want vegetables, and they're fighting, both of them, you know, about this in almost an equal way. Be sure that you look like the adult, and that if anybody walked in on this scene, they could tell which one of you was the grown-up, not just by your size, right? So flexibility on the adult's part means that you don't get everything you want, and even though you want it and you think it's important. So you might say, but vegetables really are important, and I really want my kid to have that, and he really needs it, and I'm really right, and he's really wrong. If that's the most important issue going on in your house, then that could be your A basket, and you could fight for it. But if there are other things that need to happen, like the child has to go to bed, let's say the child needs to function well in school, needs to be able to get up in the morning, and is needs to be in bed at 8:30 or 9 o'clock to accomplish this, whereas he tends to go to bed around 10:30 or 11 o'clock, right? Well, you might say, well, that's the really important issue. You say, well, no, there's that issue, but there's homework. Homework is really important. Homework has to be done, too. And you can see how really everything could be considered important from the parent's point of view. But everything cannot go into your A basket. So there have to be issues that you will flex up on, that you will omit from the battle. But once you've decided that an issue is a serious issue, then it doesn't matter at that point that the child is yelling and screaming. It doesn't matter to you. You're going to push through it. Now, you know, you could take things out. If you said, okay, homework, bedtime, those are maybe non-negotiables for somebody, but the vegetables could be maybe negotiable. Maybe the kind of clothes the child wears could be negotiable. Maybe certain aspects of the wardrobe are negotiable and some aren't. For example, in winter, maybe the coat is not negotiable, but the color of the pants matching the shirt is negotiable. Okay, you just have to flex up and find ways to not make everything go your way so that the child can also see the model of flexibility, but also because so that you won't be fighting all day. Now, what can we do to help a child who is tantruming or exploding in his own style? One thing we want to do is teach the child that we're after a different kind of response. Don't just assume that somehow the child knows exactly what you want. I mean, if you say, stop screaming, that's not acceptable, all you're telling him is what you don't want. You do need to tell him what you're looking for and when you're looking for it. So identifying for him when your feelings are hurt, let's say his brother calls him a name, and he's a very sensitive child, and when his brother calls him a name, he's going to beat his brother to a pulp, right? He's got that way of handling things. So you would talk about when your feelings are hurt, there are different ways to handle yourself. First of all, it's going to be really upsetting to have your feelings hurt, and you're going to feel that adrenaline starting to run, and you're going to feel like you're in an emergency situation where you have to just, you know, hurt somebody really badly right now. And even though you feel that way, you're going to have to use your head to tell you, don't do it. Go calm down. Leave the room. Ask for help. Address this issue with words. You know, and you can have a whole long list of what you want the child to do. And then you can role play so that the child has a practice opportunity to run it through. Let's say, you know, I'll be the brother and I'll call you stupid, and then you can role play how you would handle the adrenaline running through your body. And I think we have to tell the children that they are going to feel upset. Now, there's no problems with the way we feel. Even if you feel angry, upset, hurt, helpless, whatever you feel, all feelings are acceptable. But it's the behaviors that may not be acceptable. So we're talking here about hurting somebody in response, like beating them up because your feelings were hurt, you know, throwing something at them. So all feelings are okay. Feeling really mad at him would be fine, but choking him is not fine, you know, or hitting him, or throwing something at him is not fine. So we're going to separate that out for the child. We don't want to be doing this separation during a rage attack. All teaching has to occur outside of that moment, in a calm teaching moment. That's a moment when the parent is calm and when the child is calm. And that's why we set up the lessons at a neutral time. It could be before bedtime. It could be in the afternoon, on the weekend. It could be in the morning, you know, but it's not going to be when the child's mad. That's not a teaching moment. So this practicing of, you know, pretend acting, here your feelings are hurt and you're going to be feeling upset, and what steps would you take to calm down? Let's see you do it. And that's for the child who gets mad when his feelings are hurt. But for the child who gets mad when things don't go his way and he gets really mad and he just has a fit because you said no to something or something didn't work out for him, then you can similarly talk to the child about the fact that disappointment can feel so upsetting physically and emotionally. And we need to explain to children that the physical part is very important for us to pay attention to. Our muscles can tighten when we get mad. Our face can scrunch up. Our hands can go into a fist. And this is because of that adrenaline that's running through the system. And we go into the fight or flight mode. So we have to take care of the adrenaline first. You're going to talk to them about if things don't go your way, it can feel really, really bad. And as you feel bad, you might want to scream or stamp your foot or throw something or, you know, yell or be insulting. And here's what you can do instead. Again, you want to teach them something like sit down, leave the area that you're in, drink something slowly. The first task is to turn off that adrenaline. And, you know, kids of 6 or so years old can begin to understand that language, and you'll use different language for smaller children. Now, once you've taught the child what you expect the child to do, you can then use the CLEAR method, comment, label, reward, for catching the child doing any part of what you've taught him to do. If he's now using his words instead of his hands to try and express his unhappiness, that might be an improvement for a child. And you can tell him, make the comment, I see you're using your words, and a label that shows a lot of self-control and a reward. And since you're using your words, I'm going to change my mind and let you have what you want. Now, that could be the use of the CLEAR method for a child who usually is very physical if the parent says no. So the parent says no, the child slams a door or throws something or kicks something. And now the child is upgraded to the use of words. Even if those words are angry words, they're not perfect yet. It's just that they're verbal instead of physical. The parent can use the CLEAR method to reward the child, reinforce the new behavior, and encourage this behavior. And really, that's the CLEAR method is the teaching method of choice for all new behaviors. So the positive comment, the positive label, and a good feeling reward of some kind, like changing your mind, letting your child know later that because he used his words, you went out and got him some treat, or he has an extra privilege coming to him because of that. Let him know that it matters to you, that he's working on self-control. And that reward part is always thinned out after you see some progress, after you begin to see the change in behavior. We don't constantly put that reward in for the rest of the child's life. It's just for the first little while the child is changing the behavior. And you can also use the 2x rule to help children with their rage attacks. I would phase this in after you have taught the child what you want, after you've given the CLEAR method several weeks of a head start there to notice that the child is beginning to try and make improvements. And then later on, you can bring in negative consequences in the form of the 2x rule, which means that the child will be warned that tantruming, yelling, having a fit, whatever it is that he's doing that you find unacceptable, will receive a consequence. So we do the 2x rule. Step one, the child has a fit, and we just say to him, it's not acceptable, it's not okay for you to scream or slam things or throw things, you know, whatever it is that the child's doing. Because, you know, it doesn't make it safe. It's not the way we're supposed to treat people. And what I want you to do instead is follow the procedure that we've been working on. You need to take steps to turn off that adrenaline, to sit down, to calm yourself down, to think what other options you have, to ask for help, et cetera, et cetera. So you give that whole little speech. And then the next time the child has a temper tantrum after that, you repeat what you said and you add the warning of a consequence. So it would sound like, I told you before that it's not acceptable to blah, blah, blah because of this and that reason. Instead, I want you to blah, blah, blah. And then from now on, when you use anger and rage, instead of doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to have to write out an essay afterwards explaining what you were supposed to do. that could be a consequence, okay? But look at the book Raise Your Kids Without Raising Your Voice for a whole long list of various kinds of consequences that you can choose from. You can design for a child. There could be, which consequence you pick will depend on your child, his age, your experience with consequences, everything. So, but I'm just saying, for example, the child could write out lines every time, or he could have to go to bed early, or he could lose his computer privileges, or whatever. But it has to be a consequence that is annoying to him, worth a $100 ticket, as we call it. And then if his behavior does not improve, then we know we've got the wrong consequence. It was not worth a $100 ticket to him. Maybe it was too cheap, and we try again. But there's a whole podcast on discipline, on the 2x rule. So you might want to review that before picking the consequence. So in all these different ways, we can try to help our children, and we must help them learn to do something with their anger. Obviously, a child born with those easy, flexible genes with the high frustration tolerance, they won't need so much practice, so many lessons, so many consequences, etc. And the kids at the other end of the spectrum who are prone to rage attacks will need plenty of patient parenting. But it's a tremendous gift to give your children all that education and guidance before you set them loose in their, in life, and let them go out of your house and form their own relationships, because their ability to manage anger well will be a key to their success in life.